This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings this morning. Welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. And we trust the program will be a help and a blessing to you and perhaps even challenge you. Now, for those of you who would like to contact me, I will give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program, as I usually do. If you go to my website, you can re-listen to these programs there. You can also email prayer requests from the website. And remember, I have a weekly meditation on that website that you might find helpful. So you will need a pencil and a piece of paper to write those addresses down at the close of the program. Now, we've been journeying through the books of the Bible, trying to give you an overview of what's found in the Bible with the express desire that I can encourage each of you to spend some time reading the Bible. We've looked at the books of the law. We've looked at the record of the children of Israel coming into the land in Joshua and in Judges, and we've now looked at the kings. And we're in 2 Kings today. We looked at 1 Kings yesterday. We looked at how that the people had rejected the judges, and in essence they had rejected God because they wanted to be like the kingdoms around them. They wanted a king to lead them. And so we find out that we come to 1 and 2 Samuel, where we have the kings being anointed, the first kings being anointed, the first one being Saul, and the second one being David. And then we come to the end of their reign, and we find out the kingdom is divided because of much of what Solomon has done in order to preserve peace in his kingdom, and he's married foreign wives and has built foreign temples or temples to foreign gods. And he set the stage for idol worship in the land. And so now we're coming to 2 Kings. And as you look at Joshua and Judges and 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, you're looking at history. And for those of you that are history buffs, you'll find those sections extremely interesting. Even those who study history from a secular standpoint use the records in the Bible to establish many of the things that happened during the reign of the kings in particular. And the stories are interesting. I find it very interesting as we go through these stories having to do with the kings, because they're not fictitious stories. This is what actually happened. And if we know something of history, we know something of what can happen when we turn away from God. And I'm not talking so much about the nations today, because God is dealing with the church today. In the Old Testament, Israel was his chosen people. In the New Testament, the believers are his chosen people. And as believers, we can do many of the same things that the children of Israel did, which cost them their blessings and brought them into captivity. And so in 1 Kings, which we looked at last time, David dies and Solomon reigns, and then the kingdom is divided. Now we're coming to 2 Kings. And we read there that the history of the kings is one of downward progress. Things get darker and darker until there is no remedy. The 10 tribes are first carried away captive, and they're carried away into Assyria, and then the 2 tribes. And that is what some of the authors I've read, how they describe 2 Kings. Now, in 2 Kings, we're going to find the ministry of Elijah and the ministry of Elisha. They're 2 prophets that God raised up to warn the people of Israel about the path that they were taking. And as we look at Elijah and Elisha, there's some interesting stories, there's some interesting history associated with them. Elijah is more of a prophet that deals with justice and judgment, and Elisha is more of a prophet that deals with the matter of grace and healing. But nevertheless, when we look at Elijah, he started ministering during the reign of Ahab in our last book. And he starts warning the people about the coming captivity and judgment that's going to come upon them. But as we look, we find out that Elijah is a picture today of the faithful who are worshiping the Lord as a part of the church. In the New Testament, we find out that there is going to be a catching away of the church. In the Old Testament, there was a catching away of a man book of Genesis by the name of Enoch. And then we come to Elijah in 1 Kings, or in 2 Kings, and he's caught away. And I just want to read that with you. We call it the translation of Elijah. And I'm going to read from 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 and 1. It's 1 through 12 is what we should read. I'm going to read part of that. Then it happened, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. It separated Elijah and Elisha. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, and Elisha saw it. And he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. So he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. Elijah was translated into heaven without dying. Enoch, in the Old Testament, walked with God, and this was before the flood, and he was translated into heaven. And a promise has been left us as a church that those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ will be translated into heaven. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 that he's showing us a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And 1 Thessalonians 4 says that the Lord is going to come with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That is, those who have died as believers are going to rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And this is the blessed hope of the church. This is something that is prefigured by Elijah, who represents the believer of our day. He was an actual person with an actual rapture in the Old Testament, but he prefigures what's going to happen in our day. And of course, there are those who will mock at the idea of a rapture, and that even happened when Elijah was taken up. Because if we read from 2 Kings chapter 2, Elisha went up from there to Bethel, and as he was going up the road, some youths came from the city and mocked him and said to him, "Go up, you bald head. Go up, you bald head." So he turned around and looked at them and pronounced a curse on them in the name of the Lord. And two female bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of the youths. And so we know that there are those who still mock at the idea of the Lord's return. And when the Lord does return, there's going to be a great deception, which are going to convince the people that are left behind that in fact it did not occur. I think, and I've said this before in this program, I think that we are being set up for that right now when people believe that there are aliens who really populated this earth. They were the first people to populate this earth, and there are going to be people who are going to think that aliens have come back and snatched away a whole bunch of people one at an instantaneous moment, because I don't think the world is going to see the Lord as he descends from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel. Only the believer is going to enter into that, see that, and hear that, and they're going to be caught up. And I believe at that time there's also going to be a catching up of children that are under the age of accountability, that could not have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Lord tells us that the children are his, and he's going to take those that are his at his coming. And I believe children who cannot reject the Lord Jesus are covered by the blood, even though they've never had a chance to repent and believe, but they've also never had a chance to face the truth of their sin and reject the Christ who died for them. And so I believe children will be gone, and there's going to be people who are going to wonder at what happened, and they're going to fear with regard to what happened, and they're going to mock the idea of the rapture, and they're going to believe in the lie that something has happened, and perhaps it will be a lie that encourages them to believe that somebody, some alien from outer space, has attacked the earth. But whatever the case may be, I know that the rapture is something that the world, by and large, is not looking for. And yet, every time we remember the Lord in the breaking of bread, we proclaim his death until he comes. And so we are being a bit hypocritical if we don't believe in the Lord's return and yet remember the Lord in the breaking of the bread. So we go from there to Elisha's ministry, and in Elisha's ministry, there's a very encouraging section that I want to leave you with, and it has to do with the fact that all of Dothan was surrounded by the army of the, I believe it was the army of the Assyrians. And as we look at that section, we find out that there was a young man who was with Elisha who thought one morning that all was lost because of the way in which the city was surrounded. Elisha had been telling the king of Israel where to go and how to avoid these people, and he was helping them win the battle. But anyway, when we find that the city is surrounded, Elisha prayed and said, 2 Kings chapter 6, Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And so we find out that the Lord had his own army there protecting this particular this particular city. And I know that some people are afraid to talk about guardian angels, but the Bible says that the angel of the Lord encamps around about those that fear him. And I believe that there's many times that we are afraid and fearful because of what's happening, and we forget that there's an army of angels out there that have been set in motion to protect the believer who is trusted in Christ. That doesn't mean that everything will go well for us in life. It just means that God's purposes are going to be worked out. And even if we are forced to go through tribulation, even if we're forced to be martyred, the Lord will be with us and give us peace about it. But oftentimes we expect the worst when in fact God has his angels there protecting us, and we should expect the best. And I just don't think we understand how much is involved in eternal life that begins the moment we trust Christ and will take us on into eternity. We're told to lay hold on eternal life. That means that we are to possess what God has made available to us, and eternal life is a blessing, and one of those blessings has to do with the protecting care of the angels that God has for us who are believers. Now, our Heavenly Father, we ask thee to bless our lesson and to bless all who have listened. We thank you for salvation through faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his name, amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com, and we do thank you for listening.